Thank you. And thank you for having this old man again. I came first when I was 17 years of age up to the old building, and you've kept on having me back. So thank you very much indeed. The doctrine that we're thinking about today, justification by faith, was the doctrine that triggered the Reformation, of course, of the 16th century, led by Martin Luther. And we're grateful to God for Martin Luther, for bringing this truth to light, and for all those throughout the centuries that have actually kept on bringing it to us. It's a privilege to speak on this great theme today. This verse in chapter 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ," is actually, although it's the first verse here, it's a summary of the previous chapter, which is the chapter that we're looking at today. Sin is not primarily a crime against man, it's a crime against God. When we sin, we hurt the heart of Father God. And the truth is, there are no exceptions. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is sin? Sin is always valuing something in the world more than we value God. If we valued God more, we would sin less. You got that? Sinning is belittling the glory of God. It's dishonoring his name. But God's righteousness is commitment to do what is ultimately right, namely to uphold the honor of his name and the worth of his glory. Righteousness is the very opposite to sin. Sin belittles the worth of God by choosing against him, but righteousness magnifies the worth of God by choosing for him and choosing those things that will please him. Therefore, when God just passes over sin and lets sinners go without punishment, he seems to be unrighteous. If that was true, God would be unrighteous and we would be without hope. But God wouldn't let that be true. What did he do? The Lord Jesus, taking on the form of a human being, going to the cross of Calvary. And the death of the Son of God is a declaration of the value that God places upon his glory and the hatred that he has for sin. And, praise God, the love that he has for sinners. When you look at the cross, you can say, he loved me that much. Another word for God passing over our sin is this word, justification. It's a lovely word that when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's justified. I'd never sin. Got the definition of justified? Justified, never sin. Isn't it amazing? The fact that although we know our sin can sometimes be heinous, horrible, yet when God forgives us, it's as though we've never sinned. I, for one, want to say hallelujah. It takes a great sinner to realize the greatness of God in pouring his grace upon us. In verse 26, it says that when Jesus died, two things happened, not just one. In the death of Christ, if the death of Christ was to prove that God himself is righteous and that he justifies him or her who has faith in Jesus, God is shown to be just and believers are justified. Praise God. Now, I don't want to focus today on the subjective act of faith by which we're justified. I want to concentrate on God, the objective work of God in justifying us. Because I think if we focus on this great work that God has done, rather than what we do, we'll find the faith to receive welling up in our hearts. I want us to notice four things that comes from this great doctrine of justification by sin. And the first really good news, we are forgiven all of our sins. What do you say to that? Hallelujah. When you come to Christ in repentance of faith, he says to you and me, your sins are forgiven you. Just hear him saying that to you, not me. Your sins are forgiven you. Doesn't that lift a weight off our shoulders? Doesn't that give us hope in a God who went all the way to Calvary just to demonstrate this for us? In Romans 4, 5 through 8, Paul is unpacking the truth of justification by quoting the Old Testament. And this is what he says: to the one who does not work but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. So also David pronounces a blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man or woman against whom the Lord will not reckon his sin. Just take that in for a moment. You're blessed when your iniquities are forgiven. Do you feel blessed? Your sins are forgiven. You should feel blessed because it took Jesus all the way to Calvary to secure that forgiveness for us. I don't want to rush past that, you know. I want us to just bask in the fact that God loves us so much that Jesus went all the way to Calvary. He comes to us today and says, as you believe this, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. I went to speak at the Heath Hospital at the Christian Union one day, and I was amazed to see in the foyer of the hospital a notice up saying that I was going to speak, and they had the speaker today at the Christian Union is John Hallelujah James. My middle name is not Hallelujah, but obviously they thought it was because I said it so often. The Lord will not reckon sin against us. If you remember nothing else from this morning, remember that. The Lord will not reckon sin against us, against you. He doesn't hold our sins against us. And he doesn't have to, because he dealt with them all on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah again. And how is this possible? Because Christ bore our sin and he bore our guilt. How can he do that? In Romans 3, 24, says that we're justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word redemption means to pay. The price is paid to free us from the bondage of sin. Jesus died for us and he broke the bonds of guilt that put us under condemnation. Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Can you imagine that? Jesus became a curse for us so that we could be forgiven. Isaiah said, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When you look again at a picture of the cross of Calvary, say he did it for me. My sins were laid on him. So justification, this great truth that we're thinking about this morning, the forgiveness of sins comes to us because Christ bore our sins, bore our curse, bore our guilt, and so released us from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ only suffered once. I want you to notice that. Christ died once for all, as Hebrews 9:26 says. Christ appeared once for all at the end of the age, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Again in verse 12 of Hebrews 9, he entered once for all into the holy place, taking not the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Oh, I like that. An eternal redemption. We are forever forgiven. We're forgiven the sins of today and the sins of tomorrow that we may well commit. They're all covered by that one sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. If I get excited I'm not sorry, because I am really moved by what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. I can stand here as a forgiven man, though I'm a sinner, saved by grace, because of all that Jesus did for me. This is utterly crucial in order to grasp the glory of what God did for us on the cross. Do you see the connection between the once-for-all death of Christ and the totality of your sins and the sins of all God's people? What he did once and for all, he did it for all those that put their trust in him. Hallelujah. It's not some sins. It's not just the bad sins or the not-so-bad sins. It's all sins. Once and for all. But there's more. There's more than knowing that our sins are forgiven. There's being reckoned righteousness with righteous with an imputed righteousness. I love that phrase, imputed. Our sins were transferred to Christ on the cross. And in this wonderful divine exchange, his righteousness is transferred to you and me through faith. Isn't that wonderful? Our sins were transferred to him so he could transfer his righteousness to us. Hallelujah. It's a glorious, glorious truth. Being justified means being reckoned righteous with God's own righteousness that he imputes to us. God not only set aside our sin, he also counts us as righteous and puts us in the right standing with himself. He gives us his own righteousness. And this righteousness comes through faith in the Lord Jesus. When we say yes to God in Christ, it's an automatic transaction. In verses 21 and 22, we read this: "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." You believe in the Lord Jesus, then his righteousness is imputed, transferred to you. Hallelujah. So even though one can be justified by the works of the law, that is by the things that we do, there is the righteousness of God that we can have simply by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just find that amazing. He makes this righteousness available as a gift for sinners. Sinners though we are, he says, "Receive my righteousness." Not just my forgiveness, but receive that right standing with God, so that when God looks at you, he doesn't see the sins of the past, the present, or the future. He just sees the righteousness of Christ that's transferred to us. Hallelujah. And it's a gift. Had Christ not died to demonstrate that God is righteous in passing over sins, the only way that the righteousness of God would have shown itself is by condemning us. But Christ did die. And so the righteousness of God is now a gift. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 1. Hallelujah. And I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 5, 21. "For our sake, God made him," Christ, "to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, Christ never sinned. He was tempted in all ways like we are. Never sinned. Not in thought, word, or deed. And yet, on the cross, he was made sin for us. Oh, the thought of my sins being placed on Christ. Your sins were placed on Christ. It's an awful thought, and yet it's a wonderful thought, isn't it? It's because of his great love for us that he's able to speak words of forgiveness to us. But God, who chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, ordained that there would be a magnificent exchange: our sins transferred to Christ, the righteousness of Christ transferred to us. It's wonderful. Just pause for a moment and thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be forgiven. He's here. The Lord is here. And because of what he did on the cross, he can say to each of us, your sins are forgiven. Have you got it? Your sins are forgiven. Receive it as a true gift of grace that it is. Christ knew no sin. He was perfect in every way. He lived perfectly for the glory of God all of his life. And in his death, he was righteous. We, on the other hand, have sinned. We've belittled the glory of God. We're unrighteous. But God, who chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, ordained that there would be this wonderful exchange. He'd make Christ to be sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. I know I've repeated myself, but I wanted to, so that you might take it in. Christ did that for you. He did it for me. And here is another truth. Justification, which we've been thinking about, must precede sanctification. God's purpose is to make you holy. You knew that, didn't you? I mean, we don't feel very holy, do we? Because we sin all the time. We keep on tripping over ourselves and letting ourselves down, let alone God. But he knows it. But he loves us anyway. That's the glorious thing about the grace of God. He knows the worst about us and he loves us just the same. Hallelujah. And this exchange that took place on the cross of Calvary means that today we can stand knowing our sins forgiven, the guilt removed. Hell is no longer a threat. Heaven is going to be our home. I'm getting closer every day. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to heaven. Because I know it'll be an open door. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the life now. He's our life eternally. Hallelujah. Be sure that you see the objective reality of this outside ourselves. This is a gift. It's based on the grace of God. And before any true gospel progress in being righteous partially, we must believe that we are reckoned righteous totally. Do you get that? Before we can actually be holy, we're going to see that what Christ has done on the cross has made us holy through faith in him. In recognizing what he's done for us, we're on the way. The great gift of justification precedes, enables the process of our being set apart to be holy. So, get this. You are loved by God and treated with grace. Isn't that wonderful? God loves you and his grace flows like a river from heaven towards us day by day. And the more grace we need, the more grace there is. Just receive it in bucket loads. Or bigger means of transportation, if you like. All the grace you need is flowing towards us. If he didn't love you, he would have solved the sin problem simply by condemning us all to destruction. We deserve hell, but we're not going to go there because of what Jesus did on the cross. He bore the cross. He bore us and he bore our guilt. He descended, the creed tells us, down to hell so that we might never go there. Oh, hallelujah. And the reason is because God loves you. Has anyone told you lately that they love you? I'm telling you, God loves you. The Lord is sheer, and he would say to you, my child, I love you. Not just for now, I love you with an everlasting love. There's never been a time when I didn't love you. There'll never be a time when I turn my face, so I stop loving you. His love is flowing like a river, constantly towards us. I'm thrilled by that. It's beautifully pictured in Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. While we were yet sinners, get this, while we were yet sinners, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Got that? While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of God are free gifts of grace that flow from the love of God. Being justified means that we are forgiven. It means we're reckoned as righteous. And it means that we're loved by God. I hope you get that. It's a simple message, isn't it? But I want you to leave here today knowing and feeling that you are loved by God and you're reckoned as righteous before God, all because of Jesus and all that he did for us in his life, death, and resurrection. Hallelujah. But there's one more glorious truth, and this is it. We're secured by God forever. This is not just a passing faith God has for us. He's committed to loving us eternally. I have loved you with an everlasting love. In Romans 8, verse 30, we read, those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those who justified, he also glorified. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Then you are justified. Just if you'd never sinned. And if you're justified, you will be glorified. What does that mean? It means you'll be welcomed into the glory and you'll be made into the very likeness of the Lord Jesus himself. Can you imagine you being like Jesus? Me being like Jesus? I might know myself too well. But by the grace of God, I believe that one day that's going to happen. I'm going to be ultimately transformed. And my wife would say, about time. Transformed in the very likeness of Jesus himself. This is what it means to know eternal security. What did God achieve for us on the cross of Calvary? He achieves it forever for us. This is the point of verse 32. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? That is, will he not also glorify us? Yes, he will. That's the answer to the question. Will he not? Yes, he will glorify us. He'll make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. If you stand here today believing in the Lord Jesus, you are justified. And you will be glorified. Hallelujah. I believe in eternal security. Those of you that heard me preach often enough will know that I believe that once saved, always saved. Now, not every Christian believes that. There may be some that don't believe it. But do you think God changes his mind? Do you think Jesus would go all the way to Calvary to die for you and to speak forgiveness to you and then change his mind and say, well, you haven't lived up to my expectations, so I'm going to dump you? If he went all the way to Calvary to die for you, he will save you eternally. I find great comfort in that. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? And then he answers, it's God who justifies. He's not going to condemn you because he's justified you in what he did on the cross of Calvary. I hope you see the point. No one can make a charge stick against you. Not the devil or anyone else, not any of his demons can point the finger, because we've got Jesus as our advocate who will speak up for us and declare us guilty. Why? Because we're sinless? No. Because we're justified by the blood of Christ. I hope you got that truth today. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. When you know you're justified, you live in the peace of God. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now, you can speak it back to me. The peace of the Lord be with you. Yeah. And why? Because I've been justified. And you've been justified through what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Eternal security is a great doctrine of the Christian faith that I am absolutely committed to believing. thanks for having me here again. I love coming here. It's where I started preaching a long, long time ago. But I love coming, so thank you for having this old man come again and again, because I love coming and I love you. And God bless you in all that you continue to do in your worship, in your service. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you for this church and all it means to me and all those that belong to it, have found their spiritual home here. I pray that you might pour out your spirit, Lord, upon the leadership and upon the membership and upon those that just attend from time to time. May they come to this place. I know that God is here. I pray that many more will come to know you, to love you, and to serve you in and through this place. In Jesus' name, amen.